It was January 4, 1980, 11 days after the Soviet Union had invaded Afghanistan.
The world simply cannot stand by and permit the Soviet Union to commit this act with impunity.
Then President Jimmy Carter announced an American wheat embargo against the Soviet Union. He also suspended the sale of high-technology equipment and restricted Soviet fishing rights in U.S. waters.
These actions will require some sacrifice on the part of all Americans. But there is absolutely no doubt that these actions are in the interest of world peace and in the interest of the security of our own nation.
Although the invasion didn't spread to neighboring countries as feared, the Soviets didn't begin withdrawing from Afghanistan until 8.5 years later. Benjamin Cohen is a professor of international political economy at the University of California, Santa Barbara. He says although the sanctions sent a clear message of protest, in effect, they backfired.
Instead of having any particularly great impact on the Soviet Union, what happened was primarily that it caused an enormous political problem for the Carter administration within the United States with our farming sector, and probably had some impact on the election result in 1980.
Carter was soundly defeated by Republican presidential candidate Ronald Reagan in the fall of 1980. Experts tend to agree sanctions are a blunt weapon which must be applied with subtlety, skill, and creativity, and without inflated expectations. A study by the Institute for International Economics in Washington found that sanctions rarely lead to dramatic political breakthroughs.
We did find that sanctions are a limited tool. They tend to work best when the goal is relatively modest.
Kim Elliott, co-author of the study, says sanctions helped bring about improvements in human rights in countries like El Salvador and prompted adherence to nuclear safeguards in countries like Pakistan. But, as was the case with the Soviet invasion of Afghanistan, Elliott says sanctions seldom alter the military ambitions of a major power. According to the Institute's study, sanctions are effective in about one-third of cases. But the study also suggests the success rate has been falling since the early 1970s, largely because of the decline of the U.S. position in the world economy. Elliott says broad international cooperation is now key, as well as quick, decisive action.
If we had imposed sanctions against Croatia and Serbia and Bosnia back in 91, or even in 1990, when sort of the whole thing was just getting started, you might have been able to head off all the tragedy that we've seen since. By the time sanctions were imposed in that case, it was basically too late.
Elliott cites the case of Iraq following its invasion of Kuwait as a model for success.
In general, what you want to do is what we did in the Iraq case, which was to pose sanctions comprehensively and fast, because that reduces the chances of moving assets around, of finding alternative suppliers, of setting up smuggling routes before maybe naval interdiction goes into place, or that sort of thing.
But the case of Iraq also highlights the limitations of sanctions. Alan Dowdy is a professor of government at Notre Dame University.
Forcing a state to do something that it hadn't planned to do by economic measures is going to take time. And, of course, that's what the decision was all about in the Gulf War. Projections were it would take a year or two for the sanctions to really weaken the regime and force it to get out of Kuwait. And the decision was made that we simply didn't have that time.
In the wake of the Gulf War, broad U.N. sanctions have remained in place to force Iraqi compliance with the peace treaty. By most accounts, the measures have had only limited political success, but have crippled the Iraqi economy and made life for the average Iraqi citizen difficult, a situation repeated in other countries such as Haiti and Cuba. The University of California's Benjamin Cohen.
Indeed, there is a perverse effect involved in that the decision makers are usually those who have the greatest capability of shielding themselves from the impact of the sanctions. Clearly, it's the least advantaged members of the population who are influenced by sanctions.
But despite the drawbacks, there is general agreement sanctions are valuable, both as a symbol of protest and a tool for change. Unless a country is ready to go to war, experts note, there is no real alternative. For the Christian Science Monitor, I'm Jean Hacklander in Washington.